On this week's show, you ever dream of making your own game, but suck at pretty much everything? No? It's just me. Okay. In any case, we got Scott Tykoski here to help us tap into our inner game dev and make us suck just a little bit less. Also, it's E3 week and nothing else matters. And as you know, it is time for our annual E3 Unpredictions. Let's forget all about the hype zone. So long, Retro Game Club. This is it. It's time to make our own predictions. Also, and Nintendo did this little thing this week called a Pokemon Direct. I don't know. I guess we got to talk about that. Anyway, this is Nintendo Dual Screens episode 102. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Nintendo Dual Screens, episode 102 for the week of June 10th, 2019. I am one of your hosts, Stephen Fontana, and with me, as always, each and every week, and it made me all weepy-eyed. I listened to episode 100 one more time where we spliced in the episode 1 intro where I said, with me this week and hopefully forever, is Andy Asimakis, and I got a little weepy-eyed. But anyway, he's with me, and he is Andy Asimakis. How are you, Andy?
You know, I am a... As a sucking advocate, I think we should all strive to suck more in our daily lives.
Yeah,
less. I'm not about that.
You get that's a T-shirt if I ever. That's a limited edition Nintendo Dual Screens podcast T-shirt if I ever heard.
We are
suck listen, more.
We all know we are pro suck. That's our political stance.
Right.
That's where it's at.
Pro suck 2020. with us this week, as I mentioned in the cold open, is Scott Tykoski. How are you, Scott?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Going well, man. Going well. Thank you so much for joining us. You have quite an interesting video game that what was the official launch of the alpha? Was that today? Was that yesterday?
No, we did an update yesterday, but the official alpha one release was last Wednesday.
Okay. All right. I knew so it was close.
Yep.
But awesome. We're going to talk about that later, ladies and gentlemen. So just buckle in because it's going to be, what Scott has is actually really remarkable. I was doing a lot of reading up on it, and it really is remarkable. But for those of you who are new to Nintendo Dual Screens Podcast, just like Scott, this is a show where Andy and I and a guest go over the Nintendo news that you absolutely need to know about and have an open discussion about Nintendo's past, present, and future, and focus on the nindies that deserve all your love and attention. Nintendo Dual Screens posts each and every Monday for your listening pleasure on your podcast service of choice, including iHeartRadio and Spotify. Remember, you could support us on Patreon by going to patreon.com/NDSpodcast, just like our Patreon producer, Alex Gonzalez. Thank you so much, Alex, for your support. And thank you to every one of you who support us, even at the dollar tier. It means the world to us. We can't continue, growing without your support. You could also be a part of the show by emailing us your questions, comments, and concerns to feedback@ndspodcast.com. Now, before we get into the lead story, which of course is going to be all about the video game machine, and before we get into the Nintendo News Report, which by God, there is a Nintendo News Report, let's go over the Nindies of the Week! Andy?
Gotta hate you. I thought you weren't going to do it.
Every week, baby. It's coming.
But you did it.
Wait, you didn't think I was going to do what?
You weren't going to do
Nindies of the Week!
Bah, 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 bah!
All right, so my Nindy of the Week is a game called Gunlord X!
Mm. The X is for extreme.
It is very extreme. It is a port, but it's a port done right of a classic Neo Geo game.
Mm-hmm.
It is, you know, one of those, it's an Andy game, you know, side-scrolling platform with sprites. It's like, ticks all the boxes for things that make me rock hard in the video game experience.
Right, right.
Jump and shoot, you know.
Jump, shoot, jump, then shoot, jump and
at the same
shoot.
Time. Right. Yeah, exactly. It's all the great stuff you know and love about video games.
Right, obviously, yeah.
But, you know, it gets a little bit of a light 2D makeover. The sprites are a little bit more cleaned up for an HD screen, you know, not as blurry as they were back in the day. And it adds, like, 4 new bosses.
Ooh, that's so, always good when you get a little extra.
Yeah, so it's not just the old game. It's not a lazy-ass port.
Lazy-ass, lazy ports, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I bet you...
It's an error of ports. Right.
I bet you that even the laziest port is incredibly difficult to do. It's just a hunch. All right.
So this took even more work than the laziest port.
Right.
Which is still a lot of work, apparently, according to you.
Okay. Well, I mean, I'm sure it's more work than you and I can do, that's for sure. Maybe Scott and the video game machine can do some better ports. I don't know. Or maybe retelling of some.
I don't know. I'm looking at Gunlord X right now. It looks pretty phenomenal.
I told you, man.
That looks fun as hell. Well, I tell you what, yeah. So this is actually a Neo Geo game that they ported over?
Yeah, I think it was released in 2012.
Oh, man. I may age myself here, but were you guys around when you could get the Neo Geo?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
So I'm pushing 40, and Steven's, like, dangerously close to his mid...
His late 30s. My mid-30s. almost in my mid-30s.
Yeah, he's getting there.
Oh, did we lose him? I think we lost Scott, but that's okay. He can join back with us in a moment.
Wait! Oh, he just pinged us.
We have a message.
Why we do? He lost the mic. He's gotta find a new one. Wait, did it just vanish?
Maybe it broke. Well, that's all right, listener. Well, he's listening, so he could certainly comment on my game, which I'm going to tell you all about right now, and that's Battle Worlds Chronos.
Ooh.
Have you heard of this, Andy?
I have not.
That is because it comes out on tomorrow, which is Tuesday, the 11th.
On tomorrow.
Sneak peek. It is $30, so it is a hefty price. Ooh, but it is
a hefty price tag.
It is a meaty RTS game. It's turn-based, I should say. So you remember the old... tank games, like the tank turn-based strategy games. I forget what they were called back in the day, but anyway,
tank games.
Yeah, you know, like you roll. It's a war game, but it's tile based. But you're like you have a lot of tanks and stuff. Anyway, whatever, it doesn't matter.
Like Advance Wars.
Yeah, but this one's a little bit more. It's bigger. It's much bigger than that. Than
Tiny Metal.
Yeah, it's bigger. Yeah. Like Panzer. What is it called? Panzer Corps. Is that what it was called?
Yeah. Panzer Corps. Yeah, my favorite game of all time. Yeah.
But it's like those games.
Bubble Trouble. My favorite game.
Bubble Trouble. Yeah. What do we got here? Okay, never mind. I got a message and I didn't know what it was. Okay,
it's
so
most likely Scott.
So this is like a futuristic war game where all of these different factions, every so many years.
Whoa!
We have action.
What's happening?
This is coming in from outer space.
The Gun Lord is among us.
It is the Gunlord X.
That was a false alarm.
False alarm. But so these factions, every so many years, they get into an all-out war to see who's going to take the throne and like rule all the other factions or whatever in space and stuff like that. This was a Kickstarter game that did exceptionally well on Kickstarter. And it's... What stuck out to me were the cinematics are really well done. The graphics themselves and the gameplay is really, really polished. The only thing that I wish was a little bit more polished were like the UI and the menus. They look very flat and kind of just uninspired, I would say. And like the mini map too is a little ugly, but when you're actually playing, it's actually really good. It's really smooth. and it's actually quite difficult, which I wasn't necessarily expecting so early in the game. I'm only a couple of missions in, and it ramps up in difficulty very quickly. But if you like turn-based strategy games, a la like a Command and Conquer or something like that, it's definitely a really good game. So give it a go when it comes out, and look for our review on the site. And Scott, are you back with us?
Am I back?
You did it.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. I wrote you guys. I wrote you the words. I said, I don't want to screw this up. What happened? I talked for 2 minutes. I talked like 3 seconds. And anyways, I am not on a wireless. I'm not on a wireless headphone anymore. So
no worries.
I'm so pumped. I'll be perfectly honest. I feel really lucky to be on talking about Nintendo stuff. Cause the video game machine's for the PC, but I'm definitely a Nintendo fanboy. So
yeah.
I'm pretty pumped to be on board. The Wii U, I don't know if you guys have kids, but the Wii U has basically been my go-to system with my kids playing like the Zelda, the cel-shaded remake of
Wind Waker. Yeah,
Wind Waker. Oh my gosh, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
So, anyways,
my kids are a little young. My kids are a little young, but my son is starting to look at me when I'm playing video games and wonder. Cool. What's going on there? He's going to be 4 this summer, so he
very like cool. That
more than he likes spending time with me.
Yeah, yeah. He's
what
also
does that have that I don't have.
Well, he there was one time he watched me. I was playing what the hell was it? Wasn't Mortal Kombat? I don't know. It was BioShock.
To watch, by the way.
I know it was BioShock, and I was like, you know what?
Even better.
These little girls are kind of creepy, so I shut it off. But yeah. So Scott, what indie game can you recommend to the folks?
Unfortunately, I've been entrenched in my work. I got to be honest. If I'm picking up my Switch lately, I've been kind of playing a lot of Tetris 99.
Yeah, you have.
Just because it's that quick burst of like I just want to blow off some steam and I don't know, see how far you can make it.
Do you have any wins?
I've gotten a few. I was feeling really, really good. I was getting win after win for a little while, and then they had that tournament. I think it was like a month and a half ago, where you could actually win. I think you could actually win Nintendo points. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was just getting smoked. I mean, I was in the 80s. I was getting bumped off. In the first 10 bumps, I was off. And
I've always a bridesmaid, never a bride. I've gotten plenty of second places.
Yeah. It gets tough. Yeah. When you get into when the music speeds up and you get in the top 10.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's, and then, yeah, I've been playing a lot of the classics just because the video game machine takes a lot of inspiration from those old school games. So I've been playing a lot of Super Mario 3, just figuring out the controls, like really dissecting, what made those controls so tight.
Mm.
Playing Link to the Past, like what about that was so great? All the little things that made those games. So again, the complete opposite of an indie.
It's no worries. Most devs are not playing any games but the game they're making. So it's no big deal. however, save that wonderful talk about inspirations for the video game machine, because we have one more little thing to go over, and that's the releases of the week. And then we're going to dive head first into your video game. But the listeners, you guys, the listeners, might want to know what's coming out this week, so we're going to tell you. But first, I'm going to tell you that, and I didn't see this on last week's list, but Refunct and Neon Junctions was added to the website on Nintendo.com, and that came out right now. It would be on the 7th, so that was a couple of days ago. But the game that I mentioned at the top of the last segment here, Battle Worlds Chronos, is out this week on Tuesday. We also have Andy's Game of the Year, Leisure Suit Larry Wet Dreams Don't Dry, coming on Thursday.
It's pretty obvious, guys.
And then you have two other games that Andy is going to that are going to be up for Game of the Year. Enchanted in Moonlight, Kiryu Chikage Yuki Nojo. Wow, that's the title. And then another one, Enchanted in Moonlight, three different names, Miyabi, Kyoga, and Samon. So there's those games.
They should have done like a Pokemon Sun and Moon.
That's essentially what this is, but it seems like for
right. They should have called it like games. Distressed in the Sunshine, like the morning after with your right. You're done with your fuckboys.
Yeah.
looking back at those covers, it's really obvious what these games are about.
Yeah. Enchanted in Moonlight and then No Breakfast for You, Get Out.
Cats, stop arguing with each other.
My cats are arguing. Then we
the cat bear.
We have Platago Summer Platform Game Maker. So another game maker. Look at that.
Why do that when you can just use Scott's game, which does big, more than platformers?
Big time.
Platago, which sounds like a Spanish dish.
It does. It's a delicious dish. Radiation City is coming on Thursday as well.
Let's call it Raccoon City. We're done with it.
Verlette Swing is also coming.
Yes.
Yeah. And we have two more games here. So nothing, not crazy. Dead Dungeon and Vosaria Lair of the Forgotten.
Man, what a dead week.
I mean,
there's like nothing.
Listen, if you got $30, pick up Battle Worlds. But a lot of people are avoiding this week because it's E3 week.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah. So people going to be excited this is, spending their pre-order money.
I know in the industry, like this is like a dead week. You basically, if you try to get any sort of attention, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, I've been getting inundated. My inbox is inundated with press releases.
Yep.
The last like 3 days because nobody wants to put them up over the weekend.
And also, it's just giving you review codes. Like, here you go, take it. It's like, wait, I didn't ask for this.
Have this. You need it.
Put all these games on suicide watch for the week.
All right, so let's get into our lead story. So I want to learn all about the video game machine, and I want Scott here to tell everybody about the video game machine because it is a incredibly ambitious project, something that takes almost, if you think of video game creation tools or video game creation games like RPG Maker or Mario Maker or Dreams or you know, Little Big Planet. There are so many things you could do in these games, but what the video game machine seems to be doing is kind of mashing them all into this one beautiful pixelated 2D package. So, Scott, I want you to tell our listeners and Andy and I, what is the video game machine?
So the video game machine is it's a game that's all about making games. For all of us old school gamers, if you played games on the NES or Super Nintendo, it was all about it. You were having fun playing games, but you also sat down with your buddies and you designed games. Like, it always felt like the two kind of went hand in hand. And so this was always my dream project, to be able to put something out there where people, you know, you don't need to program, you don't need to import assets. You just, you know, here's a bunch of cool stuff to build a video game with and have at it.
So when you say build a video game, how does that actually work in the video game machine? Like, what are you doing from moment to moment to actually build your game?
So it starts off where you pick a genre. So right now in the alpha, it's pretty limited. You have side scroller and you have adventure. So basically Mario or Zelda.
Sure.
So you pick a genre, pick a hero. Here's a whole bunch of heroes to pick from. I think we have like 60 in the current version. So we'll pick one of those, name your game, and you press play, and you're basically given three open levels to fill with, to get creative with, where you can set the rules. You can, you know, add traps and enemies. Again, like Mario Maker.
Sure.
Where you're building out the world, and then you press the play button, and you get to play what you've made.
And so you make your game, right? You're choosing from all different assets. Are there any plans, or is it something that's in the alpha where you can maybe mess around with some sort of asset creation tool, or is it all going to be just curated for you, and you just kind of just have your pick of the litter?
The plan right now is to hook players up with a hero editor at the very least. When you jump in there, you get to, because what we're finding is that, like I said, I'm being a gamer parent. Like, I sit down and play with my kids. We go over to our friends' houses and play with their friends. And what we're finding is that kids want to make adventures about themselves or about their cat or about these characters that they come up with. And so we want to make sure that, like you said, creativity is at the forefront. We give the players the assets they need to create what they want to make. So whether that's, you know, heroes or enemies or bosses or, you know, the storytelling tools to tell their story. Right now you can, you know, the title crawl at the beginning of Legend of Zelda. So basically you can make one of those. Just really easily just pop up, what's my intro, type it in, and then you get to see that text crawl at the beginning. And there, it's just, since it's all wrapped up in that old school pixelated graphical presentation, like it just feels right. Maybe that's because that's where I came from, but I love that old school feeling, and being able to make a game in that style just feels really good.
Well, that style is pretty hot right now, so I mean it does make sense. And you're actually getting me very excited, because if it's as easy as you are making it seem to be, where you can just kind of make a little adventure, make a little story, Andy, I think the NDS podcast video game is closer than one may think.
Yeah, it's, at this point it's already made in my head.
Awesome.
Means to do so, and this is the exact outlet to make my dreams come true.
So honestly, one of the things, so we're looking at, obviously Mario Maker 2 is right on the horizon, and we're kind of paying attention to what they do, and actually steering away from it a little bit and saying, if somebody wants to make a Mario-esque side scroller, they have their tool, right? And it's an amazing tool. So we're looking at things that we don't think Nintendo's going to pick up and run with. Like dialogue, telling your own story. I don't think the folks at Nintendo are super comfortable with, you know, letting players just write their own dialogue. Like, it's
Andy, are you thinking what I'm thinking?
Well, listen, I think to Scott's point there, when they gave us tools to make our own Smash Brothers stages.
Exactly. Thank you, Andy.
Dicks and Wangs we're drawn about.
Yeah,
so.
It's just, there's actually
left their own devices.
Yeah.
We should not be trusted is what we're trying to say here.
So I learned recently that there's an industry term, I think it's TTP, which is time to penis. And that's basically how many seconds does it take? If you give players the tools, how long does it take for them to make a penis? And,
no seconds.
Oh, yeah. I was proud that I got that number down to 5 seconds. So there you go.
Well done. Well done. Like, so
hero's name, penis.
Pete Ness.
Yes.
There is another thing that Nintendo doesn't want people to do, apparently, that I hope your video game allows, and that's playing with friends.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Do that sometimes.
Yeah, I would love. Did you guys ever play Secret of Mana back in the day?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, I have just great memories of that game. So, you know, so we're looking at Zelda for adventure ideas, but there's all those other games, Illusion of Gaia, Secret of Mana, out there that also inspire us. So we're trying to, you know, making an adventure game isn't, oh, I'm making a Zelda-esque game. People should feel like they're tapping into, you know, that 16-bit era of action RPG that was so awesome.
Yeah, I remember back in the day, like on PS1, when RPG Maker really like came across my radar, and I was completely overwhelmed by it. But I remember being blown away that I was like, "Whoa, wait a minute, hold on! I can make like a Super Nintendo esque, like Final Fantasy, RPG." And of course, it would take, you know, forever to do it, but you were able to do it. And that was the first time I was really introduced to that type of or community, I should say. And I didn't really keep up with it, unfortunately, but I guess for me, it was more about accessibility. It was more about how easy is this to get in and make something that would be fun to just pass the controller to your friend and say, hey, I made this, you know, play this kind of thing.
Yeah, for sure.
So how did you tackle accessibility in that maybe trying to attract people who aren't necessarily, you know, savvy to that type of thing? How did you go about doing that?
Well, we certainly, we knew that nowadays there are tons of tools to pick from. And Mario Maker has set the bar pretty high when it comes to accessibility. So ease of use has been our main goal. And basically, if it's fun to make the game, then we know that we've succeeded. And so we put a lot of time and effort into the game feel of the editor itself, where it feels good to erase blocks. It feels good to place down a bunch of things. And you can actually click on your character and play the game while you're making it. So kind of like in Mario Maker, you set it up and you can kind of see where your jump parabola is and stuff. But you have to press the play button to actually play the game.
Right.
Here we tried to incorporate the playing, kind of blur the line between playing and making. So as you're playing, you're making, and as you're making, you're playing.
That's awesome. I mean, that other thing, the thing that I guess makes Mario Maker so special is the ability that you can go, it's very snappy. You can go in, change something, bounce out, do something, go in, and, you know, I don't know how they're going to fix that on the Switch version particularly, but were there any challenges?
I'm very curious,
yeah. Were there any challenges for you on the PC level to like do something on a single screen, or, you know, because I'm sure you have to make it so that it's one screen. You can't really like move things back and forth. So did you have any challenges with that?
I don't think so. It being on the PC works out pretty well because being mouse controlled is a lot like the touch screen from the Wii U.
Sure.
Just having the ability to click where you want to click, and I haven't had, yeah, accessibility on the PC has been fine, but we are looking into a console port, so it'll get interesting once we have to start going controller only.
So let's talk about console ports, because, and this is more of a general question, it's not necessarily about the video game machine, but how, from your eyes, from your perspective, what has that been like looking at from the outside in to see the Switches, or the Switch apostrophe Switches, not yes, you have to say that because Nintendo gets mad. the success that the indie games and indie developers, although it has slowed down a little bit, that you see over there, is console ports now just an automatic thing that an independent developer just has to look at this point?
I think that it's definitely become more accessible now that you have programs like Unity and Unreal. I mean, Mario Odyssey was made in Unreal. That's kind of incredible to all of us, where we're going, geez, if Nintendo is using these third-party engines, then why don't we?
Right.
And so it's been really interesting to see how there was a time where independent developers went to Steam if you wanted to have a hit, and it's been really cool to see. There's a game called Blossom Tales.
That
came out where he put it out on Steam, wasn't happy with the numbers, put it out on Switch, and I think he sold 27 times what he sold on Steam on the Switch.
Made its money back. I think it was in 3 days.
Incredible. Yeah. And that's awesome, because we all grew up on the Nintendo. You know, you play Blossom Tales and you know what he was playing as a kid. And to see the move over to Nintendo be the right one for him was really exciting. So,
by the way, listeners, I am not monopolizing the interview. Andy was having microphone issues, so he is working on that and will be back as soon as he can. So it is my show now. Woo! So I want to talk about, because you had just mentioned when you play Blossom Tales, you know exactly what essentially, you know, what that person was playing with, you know, all that stuff. So you already, you keep mentioning Mario, you keep mentioning Zelda. Those are obvious inspirations for you. But when you pick up the controller in the video game machine, what were you going for as far as that muscle memory? Cause I have a feeling that like the, when you pick up this controller, just looking at it, that I know exactly what each button is going to do in your game. Can you talk about your approach to that familiarity. Oh my God, that word's so hard for me. I'm like a little dumb when it comes to that word. Anyway, in your control schemes?
We actually had a couple of Nintendo Minis and SNES Minis that we would play and say, you know, what are we going for here? A lot of the times we tapped into Shovel Knight because that's just the, in my mind, it's kind of the de facto retro made new game feel where you have it felt a little bit Mega Man-y, a little bit Mario-y. Like it had like flavors of a couple of different control types.
Right. It's almost like the characters have this very specific weight to them. Mm-hmm. And when you're moving around in that environment, like Mega Man has a very distinct fall, like he goes down in a very specific speed, and Shovel Knight kind of recreates that, but he also has more of a Mario arc to his jump, so it's kind of like mixing the two worlds. And
And so what we're trying to do is there's a one of the buttons when you're editing the game is called the rule book, and you can open that up and start playing with things like, does the player in a side scroller game, does he have a double jump, you know, does he do a ground pound? And so what we're going to do is open up those options so the players can tweak the falls, can tweak the speed.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So hopefully players will be able to, you know, tweak those settings to the point where they get something that feels like a Mega Man, feels like a Castlevania, and so forth. So yeah, just trying to get as many dials in the hands of the player as possible. Is our goal.
That's awesome. All right, so let's go back a little bit more, a little bit to your inspirations, because we have Mario. Look who he is. He's here. What's up, Andy?
I was speaking throughout the whole thing. I had no idea I wasn't really here until you mentioned it.
I'm just ignoring him.
Yeah, no,
and
you were muted. You were muted to all hell. I thought you were like rebooting, because sometimes that happens where it'll just say that you're muted, but you're like rebooting your computer or something.
I feel like if he had something to say about Blossom Tales, that was a pretty cool game. I feel like we should.
Yeah, we covered it.
The Switch sales saved them from bankruptcy. That's all I really added to that conversation.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it did. I think it was in its month. It made I don't know, it was like $1 million, something like that. Something crazy.
Awesome.
I don't know.
Awesome.
It did really well. I purchased it, so I did my part. Andy, since you were sitting there talking to yourself the whole time, do you have any questions for Scott?
Like most of my night, sitting alone in darkness, talking to myself. So I mean, what I really wanted to ask Scott was, can I make Star Tropics 3 with your engine?
Oh. Okay, so let's see.
Really matters.
So that would have a world map, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you have a world map with Zelda-esque gameplay.
Right. So like a Final Fantasy type overworld situation going on.
NPCs, and then
dungeon tropical. A la Zelda.
Yes, the answer is yes, Andy. I to be honest, it would take very little. Not all of the features are in that you'd need. Like the world map is not in Alpha 1 right now. It's like a halfway done, but we're going to put the world map rule in, I think, Beta 1. But basically, by the time that you're done, you should be able to make something pretty close to Star Tropics.
Just fair warning, if I go off mic again, it's because my massive throbbing erection has jostled my laptop off of my lap.
Yes, I did it.
Yeah.
That's my goal with this game.
And this is why I can't recommend this show to 12-year-olds. Oh, Uncle Steven, you have a podcast? Yes, but you cannot know about it. When you are 15, I will allow it.
But I do find it interesting how you were saying earlier that you look at Mario Maker, for example, and you say, all right, they're doing this thing, so we're going to pivot and do it a little differently with our game creation tool. Do you look at something like Dreams, for example, and just say to yourself, fuck?
Yes. Honestly, the stuff that, I mean, I'm sure that you guys have seen, like, that somebody made the first level from Metal Gear Solid. Somebody made a Star Wars Battlefront
that
type.
Star Wars, what is it, the X-Wing fighter thing? Oh, my God. That is stupid good.
Someone did a Spider-Man web-slinging demo, which is outrageous.
Yeah. So it's amazing what they're making. And so that's why I've kind of walled off. I've walled off our intention and said, no, what, we're going 8-bit to 16-bit. You know, like, we're picking an era and kind of sticking with it.
Sure.
Instead of going, oh, could we do something in 3D? It's like, no. Dreams has that covered, man. And like Mario, like, we have side-scrollers, but I'm thinking more, you know, Zelda 2 or Mega Man or, you know.
Oh, Mega Man.
Yeah, make sure that we're not just copying, not looking at Mario Maker and saying, oh, we should do this, because Nintendo's always going to do it better. And so the same thing's true with RPG Maker. We have a lot of people asking, you know, how deep are you going to be able to go with the RPG elements? And we have to be honest and say, we're going to go kind of deep. You know, we're going to go as deep as we feel comfortable. But if you want to make an RPG, you know, a Final Fantasy VI, a Chrono Trigger type game, you should probably use RPG Maker, because they've been doing it for, what, 15, 20 years now. And they do it great. And what we're trying to do is, did you guys ever play ActRaiser?
Uh-huh.
We've discussed it on the show several times.
Okay.
Yeah. One of our all-time favorite games on the Super Nintendo.
Fantastic. Okay, so the magic, I hope you guys agree with me, the magic of ActRaiser was that juxtaposition of action and...
God complex.
SimCity. Like, it was this weird thing that shouldn't work, right? You have action segments, and then you go to SimCity segments, and then back to action segments for a boss battle. And it was this weird juxtaposition that somehow worked. And it kind of felt like this weird mashup of genres. And that is actually a huge inspiration for Video Game Machine, where I want people to be able to mash things up in weird ways and kind of see what comes out. So I want to be able to take elements of RPG games and turn them into rules that you can kind of snap together and see what comes out the other side. What does it feel like when you have a shmup with a world map and random battles? Like, I've never played that game before. I kind of want to try it. And so the thought is, with Video Game Machine, you'll be able to kind of stick video game systems together in interesting ways and build from there.
That sounds awesome.
It's kind of like why the new Persona games work so well. It's two halves of something completely different smashed together, essentially.
Yeah, I remember thinking the same thing with Mario Rabbids. Mario Rabbids. how is this so amazing? This Mario plus Rabbids plus XCOM thing. This should not work. This should be a Frankenstein, and it's just amazing.
I know you have, like, there's, you can set rules for the games you're creating, but will it eventually lead to a point where, if I have even the slightest bit of programming knowledge, can I code my own rules? Like, let's say I want to have boss AI be a certain way. Can it go that far, or they're just presets in the
my
game?
My hope is that anything that you would want to code, we would have a simple UI interface for that. So I plan on us having a way to customize boss battles.
Awesome.
I just want to make sure that it's done in a way, like, we're going slow burn on this project. So alpha came out, beta is going to come out in a couple of months. But in general, we're going to take our time and make sure that we're sticking to that pillar of keep it easy. Make sure that somebody who wants to come in without coding knowledge can make what make something reasonably close to what they envision, and have fun doing it.
Makes total sense, and I cannot wait to get my grubby little paws on this thing and make something completely ridiculous. Andy,
make the first RPG slash Mike Tyson's Punch Out.
Yeah, Mike Tyson's RPG boss battle extraordinaire. Electric Boogaloo. If there are not any more questions, Andy or Scott, if there's anything that you want to add to the discussion, is there anything? Shall we move on?
I'll just put this out there real quick. What we're kind of going for is that feeling as a kid when you'd have a big bucket of Legos and you dump them all out and get to make something with it. So that's kind of what we're trying to do with video game form. In video game form is take all those systems, turn them into little blocks that you can cobble together something cool and get creative with. That's awesome. Video game machine.
All right. And how can people jump into the alpha? Is it like an open thing? How do you get in? Is there a way to get into the alpha?
Yes. So right now you can become a founder over at www.thevgm.com. And for $10, I think right now, you get into the founders program. It lets you make side-scrolling games, adventure games, and then we'll be adding more genres and more rules as we continue the process.
Without getting into specifics, how many genres do you have right now, like ready to be added into the game? Like not like 100% ready, but like the ones you know you're going to be putting in this thing.
We have about 6 other ones in the wing.
Cool.
That we're pretty happy with. But yeah, it's just one of those things where as we play, we see what people want, and we try to figure out what should be a genre and what should be little elements, little building blocks that we put in there. Like a lot of people want RTS, like an RTS genre. Mm-hmm. And I would feel much more comfortable putting RTS elements in there for people to play with, but in a side scroller, or see how do RTS elements feel in a shoot 'em up or something.
Cool. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do for our lead story. That's the video game machine. It is in alpha right now. Go to thevgm.com, and for $10, you could sign up and you can get in that founders program and start messing around and making video games. But now it is time to get into the Nintendo news report. Andy, some shit went down this week.
We got a Pokemon Direct.
Yeah. Pokemon was hey.
Totally forgot about it, to be honest.
Yeah, I watched it 3 times. I'm fascinated by what they have going on here. Let's just touch up on a couple of things. First of all, they have these wild areas. It's called the wild area, and they're massive open fields where you can move in 3 dimensions. Pokemon pop up like in Let's Go. These aren't like the only ways that you can interact, but these are like in between the towns or the cities. There are these massive open areas where, depending on time of day and the area and the weather, you could catch different wild Pokemon. But the other crazy thing on here, and by the way, it looks gorgeous. The other thing that's crazy about this is that there are these little, they look like little like cracks in the floor with like concrete. But you can huddle around one of these and join 3 other players to take on these giant raid Pokemon. So taking a little bit of that Pokemon Go aspect and social aspect and bringing it in here. And why are they giant, you ask? That's because of the new crazy system that they are implementing here called the Dynamax system, the Dynamax phenomenon, which is kind of like your Z moves or whatever, but you can transform your Pokemon into a giant Godzilla-like version where it's super powered and stuff like that. So they definitely released a good amount of information on this video game, Andy. And I got to tell you, the hype is real.
So I'm a little upset that the camera control portion is only for the wild area, it seems, judging by what that trailer said.
Right.
Like, I think the game proper is going to be a traditional kind of locked in camera perspective.
Yeah.
That overhead kind of look, which I feel we should move past that by now. Like, let's bring this to a new vision. But I guess they're maybe just trying the waters out, see what it's like in this little separate side area of the game. That's a lot like Go and a more modern third person action game.
Right. I feel like they would have to build. I feel like they would have to almost reinvent Pokemon, and it's
right, which is what I expected this to be.
Well, yes and no. It's really not. It's only been in development for 2 years.
I just love how there's the wild area. There's Pokemon like walking around, a la Let's Go.
Yeah.
And there's a screenshot of a Tyranitar that looks as big as you do.
Yeah.
Not to scale, obviously.
It's like a 4 foot or yeah, no, nah, maybe he's like, he's more like 6 foot maybe.
Right. Yeah. Just like, oh, you should be like dwarfing that tree, homeboy.
Scott, are you a Pokemaniac as it were?
Yeah. My family is officially, we're all about it. We just saw Detective Pikachu 2 weeks ago. Before that, like, we've been entrenched in, the Sun and Moon series came out on Netflix. Ooh. So we've been watching that. We've been Pokemon Go. We've been playing that again. I got to say, as an industry guy, like, I am so impressed with how they can line this stuff up where, because Detective Pikachu came out and like, man, I'm just all about Pokemon right now. Like, why is that? And then I look back and go, oh, because they put Sun and Moon out on Netflix. Like, they line it up. So, okay, here's 2 months before Detective Pikachu, we have Sun and Moon coming out on Netflix. And then we're going to do, like, a Pokemon Go thing. And then just the way that they schedule things is, like, top-notch. I hats off to them.
And then they did that Pokemon press conference thing where they announced Detective Pikachu on Switch.
Yeah, yep.
Or the sequel on Switch.
Yeah, so it's just they have me hook, line, and sinker at this point. So.
And my YouTube is inundated with videos of people opening Pokemon cards for some reason, which I'm addicted to. It's a problem. I'm just watching dudes open Pokemon cards. I'm like, wow, if only I had $400 I could drop on, you know, 75.
Well, we got to swap trainer codes first and foremost before this session's over.
Yes, we do. We do, Scott. Trainer codes.
We give gifts on the daily, Scott.
Yes, we do.
Oh, for sure. Awesome.
Those guys.
Oh, yeah. Andy, we have to celebrate. We're best friends.
Oh, my God.
Now.
It happened. Listen, it was on my notes for our 100th show.
Right.
We became best friends in Pokemon Go Live before we recorded.
We did. Congratulations.
No thanks to Steven, that big old jerk.
No thanks to me. Yeah, so a lot of really cool things came out of this thing. We saw some new Pokemon, which
sheep thing looks really adorable.
The sheep thing looks adorable. That something gnaw, jaw gnaw, crack gnaw, whatever the hell it was called.
Wait, did you read some of these descriptions, by the way?
No, but I watched them. I mean,
oh my God. So I was gonna read one to you for Swabble.
Swabble.
That's the little water-based Sobble. The water-based
Sobble. Yeah.
Okay, hear this. Okay.
Uh huh.
Sobble's tears are capable of making others cry.
Yes.
This effect is so strong, it is said that its tears are as potent as 100 onions.
Okay. All right.
And for that little sheep guy, Wooloo.
Wooloo. Yep.
Wooloo live as a herd and mimic the actions of their trainer or herd leader. They dislike conflict. That's a wise choice for a game to be in. And if they need to escape from enemies, they will simply roll away.
That's awesome.
That better be in the fucking game. I want to see in the wild zones rolling sheep going down the hill like a herd.
A herd of roly-poly sheep.
A bag of rolling sheep.
That's awesome. So, of course, the biggest news out of all of this is a release date, Andy.
The date. We got a date.
We did get a date. It is coming on November 15th, 2019.
A week after Death Stranding. That's a packed month for us, bro.
And again, just right before my birthday.
Oh, boy.
Woo!
I ain't buying you jack shit.
Pokemon, gotta catch 'em. Oh. All right, so let's
I could buy you that, or I could buy you the Death Stranding edition with the actual baby lamp. Do you want that?
Yeah, that'll go over real well in the home decor.
I bought that, by the way, in a heartbeat.
That'll look great on the shelf. All right, Andy, let's move on to the next bit of news. You can take that one away. Take that.
Ooh,
take
it. Grandia 1 and 2 remaster coming to PC and Switch.
Hell
Speaking
yeah.
of great RPG games that we love from our youth. Is it coming back?
These are really good games.
Is there a release date? Let's find out.
There is no release date right now. No release date, but I believe it is coming soon, as they say.
This is all the pre-E3, like, soon. Oh yeah, here's things that will get drowned out by actual news in a few days, so.
But this is exciting, man. These games were actually pretty good. As far as what I remember, they were a lot of fun.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to feature enhanced details, like UI, sprites, texture art.
Yeah,
widescreen support, Japanese and English audio, achievements only for Steam.
And to be clear, the Switch, is getting the Grandia HD Collection, which is 1 and 2 HD remaster. But Grandia HD remaster and Grandia 2 HD remaster are going to PC, so it's going to be a separate games. But the Switch is getting the collection.
Well, to make things even more confusing, Grandia 2 Anniversary Edition has been renamed to Grandia 2 HD Remaster.
Right, of course.
Will be sold separately from Grandia HD Remaster on PC.
Of course. But, yeah, so, as you said, there are going to be some updated sprites and whatnot, so it's going to be good. I'm actually...
It just sounds bananas.
I actually honestly forgot about, like, these games. Like, I wasn't really... I mean, probably for obvious reasons, right? I mean, they haven't really been exactly in the mainstream, but I'm looking forward to that. So, there you go.
Just bananas. Like our next game on the list.
Whoa!
My friend Pedro.
Yeah.
Easily one of my most anticipated games, indie games of the year.
Uh-huh.
Got a release date. June 20th.
It's coming.
It's on. Devolver just loves to bankrupt me in so many ways.
I know.
I bought like 5 of the games over the weekend. Just because I wanted to.
Damn you, Devolver.
You just keep releasing good games. Like whoever curates their games to publish needs like an industry influence award or like a lifetime achievement award.
I just Googled my friend Pedro.
Yeah.
You guys are going to have to clue me in. I've been out of the loop, apparently. There's banana. The happy banana.
Uh-huh. There's a banana. The guy with guns. It's like your talking banana companion.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Go ahead, Andy. You describe it.
It is like, yeah, I think that's the bulk of the game. Like the shooting aspects and the murder parts and the slow motion bullet time is all ancillary. Rag it's all about physics. The banana talk.
Oh my gosh.
It's like Max Payne 2D meets like a Hotline Miami-esque, like level clearing, jumpy, shooty, acrobatic gunplay. Ballerina gunplay
with the banana friend
essentially
who is I assume his name Pedro.
I don't know if the banana is Pedro or if you are playing
or the guy is Pedro.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
So wait, so the banana is like, oh, this is my friend Pedro.
Exactly, this is my friend Pedro, and he's going to enact the murder.
That better be it.
He's gonna kill everyone. That's what's gonna happen in this video game.
Because like they ask the banana first, like, oh, who's this guy? Oh, that guy, that's my friend Pedro.
All right. Next and last story.
Ooh. So this is nice because this goes into a huge release next week. And that is Bloodstained Ritual of the Night creator and developer Koji Igarashi. Was discussing the game to Gematsu recently. And of course they had a touch upon Castlevania and his legacy with that franchise. And they asked him, hey, given the chance, would you want to work on this franchise again? And he's like, yeah, totally. Because there were two games that I sort of didn't finish, right? I hinted at. during development, and we never got around to it. And that's for the Castlevania fans out there, what's known as the Battle of 1999. That's when they sealed Dracula in a solar eclipse, and I guess sort of killed him, ish.
Right. I feel like this question of would you want to work on Castlevania again is like asking somebody, hey, do you like money?
Well, I feel like if this thing you're doing now kind of bombs, would you want to do Castlevania again? Because listen,
and
you
would
and
the
I
people
have,
allow you?
You and I have been strong supporters of Bloodstained since it first was announced, but we've had our doubts throughout the years.
Oh, yeah. Oh, doubts have been strong.
We've had a lot to get to make us go, I don't like that.
So I think it was exactly 70 episodes ago.
Yes.
That, or almost exactly 70 episodes ago, that we had Roberto on the show from 505 to talk about it.
Yeah, and a great time to plug next week's guest. Roberto is back on the show.
There you go. Coming back to talk about it.
On the eve of Bloodstained's release.
Indeed.
Back on the show. We're very excited about that.
So please be excited.
Yes. And that's the news.
That's the news, man. Yeah. Scott, we did it.
That's amazing. I'm still looking at my friend Pedro. This game looks crazy. I can't stop looking.
Listen, Scott, if you could go on Twitter and just tell Devolver that if it wasn't for this podcast, they would have lost the sale of my friend Pedro.
This is amazing.
We are influencers of the highest order.
That's right.
I have a question for you guys.
Yep.
Did you ever get to play Super Hot on VR?
Super Hot. Super Hot. Again. See, that game was a case for why you should own a PSVR.
Yeah.
That game blew my mind on VR. Like, it was awesome regardless, but it was one of those experiences that, because you're talking with my friend Pedro, I guess, has that bullet time effect. Mm-hmm. And just in VR, that bullet time feels so good in VR.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. Anyways, that's my side.
It was made for VR. The whole, like, the game moves along with you.
Yeah. I like how even just, like, tilting your head back and forth.
Yeah, just a,
used a little bit of time. It's like, do I
it's like, around? Ooh, my innermost John Woo fantasy come to life.
Oh, and grabbing, hitting a guy and then grabbing the gun in midair. And, oh.
Like, I'm going to grab this axe and hit you with it in the face. And then as it bounces back, grab it again.
So good.
It is time for our final segment of the show. And,
oh, boy.
And what we have been hyping. We've been hyping it up for all of 3 hours.
So there is a hype zone kind of to this part of the show.
And it is our E3 2019 Unpredictions show. Welcome, everybody, to the show. There are literally hundreds of podcasts that try and guess what will happen at E3. Some keep score, some win trophies, but here at NDS, we say pish posh, Andy. We say pish posh. Anybody can guess what will happen, but can anybody come up with the most outlandish predictions that just might actually come true? Ideas so crazy, they just might work? Well, that's what we're going to do here on the E3 2019 Nintendo Unpredictions. And to start us off, I'm going to read one of our listener suggestions.
Great start, I gotta think of one right now.
Because we are talking about VR, and so did Nintendo Dual Screen Superfan Zach, who submitted this in our mailbag on our Discord. So you can go to patreon.com/NDS podcast, and for $1 you can join our Discord. And Zach says his unprediction is Nintendo is going to announce Labo VR, a game where you build Labo stuff in VR using the VR Labo set.
Wow. That is a groundbreaking idea, Zach.
Groundbreaking.
Super fan for a reason.
That might be the smartest thing Zach has ever said.
And he says a lot of dumb shit.
Boy, does he.
And how.
Okay, let's see. My unprediction is number one. We're each going to do three, Scott. So if you can come up with some on the spot, that's awesome. My first prediction is Netflix finally announced for Nintendo Switch, but it is for download and offline play only.
Love it.
because Nintendo got a Nintendo. I'm writing it down so we could keep this in our legacy.
Make a note of that. Yeah, that may end up happening. That's the scary part about this segment, folks, is that these things, as ludicrous as they may sound, may happen.
All right, Andy, what is your first E3 2019 Nintendo prediction?
I only wrote two down, so number three going to be on the fly.
Okay.
So my first one is Nintendo announces, after all these years and so many requests from fans worldwide, they finally announce Mother 3.
Wow.
As a Playdate exclusive.
Oh, I love the Playdate. I can't wait for that.
Yeah.
Why would Nintendo announce that for Playdate?
Hey.
I mean,
we don't question the rules the unpredictable, bow to their will.
You're right. We don't. Again, write that in the doc as Scott tells us his first Nintendo unprediction.
Oh, come on. I just learned about this an hour ago.
Perfect. It's perfect.
Okay. I'm just spitballing here.
That's so are we.
Like okay. Spot. All right. All right.
Make it wrong.
Reggie comes back.
Oh.
Love it already.
He's got to come swinging, baby. Give me the good stuff.
But he's a new challenger in... What's that game? You're killing me, man. It's 10 o'clock over here.
Hey, it's 10 o'clock here, too. In Smash Bros., are you trying to tell me Reggie is coming back, but only in spirit and as a new fighter in Super Smash Bros. Ultimate? Is that what you're telling me?
Oh, my God. Yes.
Or as an optional skin in My Friend Pedro? Is it talking banana
tape? Yes.
The floating Reggie head?
My Friend Pedro is the new challenger.
My Friend Reggie? The DLC announced for My Friend Pedro?
All right. Reggie is a new challenger. That's going in as your own prediction.
That's it. New challenger.
I love it. All right. I actually have to Google the name of this company. Hold on. All right. I'm going to Wikipedia. Wow. Okay. Nintendo teams up with As Seen on TV Incorporated and creates the Nintendo Switch Shake Weight for the new Switch. It's going to be called Switch Fit.
Love it.
And they are Joy-Con that have spring-loaded weights in them. And you hold your Switch and you shake it vigorously up and down as much as you can to get a good deep burn in those triceps and biceps, Andy.
I love it. I love a good deep burn. The deeper, the better, I said.
Andy, right, what is your number two?
All right, my number two is the highly rumored collaboration between From Software and George R.R. Martin is revealed to be the long-awaited sequel to Deadly Towers.
Oh, God. Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
At least it will have a very long and confusing narrative.
At least it'll be better than Game of Thrones.
No, hey, we don't mention that out here. My cats are trying to get in the bedroom, but I refuse to let them in. Scott, what is your second Nintendo unprediction?
All right. Here we go. Here we go, fellas. You sitting down?
We are, but we could barely hear you.
Okay. Okay.
There you go. Okay. All right. Here we go.
One-Two Switch 2 is announced.
What? Wow.
With 100 games.
One.
Wow.
But they're all variants of that baby game. Where you have to shake, where you have to cradle the baby till it stops.
Were you going
to
say you're going to shake the baby?
Yes, I did. I told you.
Like a Guatemalan man. God.
Cut that part, please.
Don't shake the baby. Hold on.
This show is 100% uncensored, uncut, and unedited.
Is it 1-2 Switch TOO?
It's one 1-2 Switch 2. I wrote down the number 2, but okay. I guess it could be 2 as in also.
But
the real selling point are the 100 baby games that
no, guys, it's actually there's a translation error. It's called 1-TOO Switch. It's an HD remake of 1-2 Switch with only baby games.
The official name is
yes. 1-2 Switch.
1-2 Switch : 100 baby shakes.
X.
X Extreme.
I love it. All right. My third and final Nintendo unprediction for E3 2019. You thought we were done with the Pokemon news, Andy. You thought it.
Here we go.
You thought it. We got Pokemon Go. We got Pokemon Sleep. We need Pokemon Poop.
Isn't Pokemon Sleep Pokemon Poop? Let's be real.
You would think. What this wonderful app does, so you get a they're going to announce that a new peripheral. It's made out of Labo. It's very simple. It's got a series of pulleys, and you make essentially a little bowl, and you put your Joy-Con.
Andy just put so much thought into this.
you got your bowl. You put your slide your Joy-Con in, and what you do is you poo in the bowl, and based on the weight of your poo, you unlock and can catch a brand new Pokemon in Pokemon Go. It's synced in Pokemon Go. So it'll spawn a Pokemon based on your poo. So if you have a really good dense poo, you might get like, let's say, Onyx. You know what I'm saying?
If it looks like Onyx, then you get an
right.
Onyx.
If you've had a lot of fiber and it's a very leafy one, maybe you'll get a Tangela. I don't know.
Mine's all Grimers and Mucks though, let's be real.
All right, Andy, what is your final unprediction?
Oh man, so this again, I only wrote two of them down, but I got a sudden flash of what will be, I think, the most incredible game ever that they could possibly release. So Nintendo, if you're listening, please make this a reality. Because we mentioned earlier about a Reggie guest spot in Smash Bros. And I'm thinking, who is the most requested yet neglected character for Smash Brothers? It's Waluigi.
Right.
Everyone's favorite Waluigi.
Right.
Best character ever. So Nintendo, to respond to that high demand to get that character in Smash, is going to release a game called Waluigi Sports. It's a game where you as the player use various sports items and equipment to beat the shit out of Waluigi. Like a pool cue. Or a ping pong racket, or an excite bike to roll over him sometimes.
Ah.
Yeah.
You hurt me.
Mm-hmm. Or boxing.
Right. But he doesn't fight. He doesn't fight back.
He just stands still. He just takes a little bitch he is. That's all Luigi does. That's all he's good for. He's a punching bag.
He's all elbows and knees. Scott, what is your? You're going to close us out here for the 2019 E3 Nintendo Prediction Show.
I think I got to close this out on a bummer.
No such thing. This is the unprediction.
That sounds about right for the show, by the way.
Well, everybody's talking about Metroid Fusion 4, and I don't think we're going to see it.
Mm.
And I'm really sorry. It's not a funny one. It's a sad one.
You mean
one.
Metroid Prime 4?
No, Metroid. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Okay. Metroid Prime 4 is going to be shown is like a prediction.
Now, I'm going to piggyback off of that because another one of our listeners and new Twitch homeboys, FNH Paul, has an own prediction that is related to Metroid Prime. Says, Nintendo is going to announce that Halo Wars 1 and 2 and Spartan Assault will be coming to Nintendo Switch, and Microsoft is going to announce that the Metroid Prime trilogy will be available on Xbox One.
That makes you want to cry.
That's the delay. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, is our E3 2019 Nintendo Unprediction Show. We did it. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, Nintendo Dual Screens podcast is part of the Proven Gamer podcast network, which includes Trophy Horrors, a PlayStation podcast, and Game Stuff, a general games discussion podcast. If you want to follow the show on social media, you could do so. We are at NDS Podcast. I am at Batchild27. Andy is at PantsGuy. Now, Scott, my friend, where can everybody find you and the Video Game Machine?
You can find the Video Game Machine at www.thevgm.com. You can find me at, let me go look at my Twitter account. It is at Scott Tykoski on Twitter. Very creative, I know.
Beautiful, beautiful. And real quickly before we go on the rest of the goodbyes and all that stuff, go over one more time the details on how to join the Alpha for those who didn't write it down the first time.
If you want to get into the Video Game Machine Alpha, come check it out at thevgm.com. Right now, it's $10 to download. It's like I said, it's a rough alpha, but it's really awesome to get everybody playing and getting player feedback and see where we should take it.
Awesome. And I want to thank you, Scott, for coming on the show. It was an absolute blast hanging out with you and talking video games, talking old school video games, talking ridiculous predictions, and of course, talking the Video Game Machine. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, guys, thank you so much for having me. I will gladly come back if you ever want to chat.
Hell yeah.
It's going to happen.
Thank you to our contributors, Zazu Pitts of Sound O Productions for our theme song, 16-Bit Attack. Thank you, Dan Colonna of Dinosaur Machines Podcast and Hit Buttons Gaming for our NDS logo. Thank you, Andrew Douglas, for all of our podcast art. And thank you, Matt Murray, for really everything, but also our overlays for stream and YouTube. Again, if you want to be a part of the show, you could write to us at feedback@ndspodcast.com. And Andy, is there anything you want to tell the kids before we go?
Well, we announced next week's guest.
Yes, we did.
That happened. For a recap, we're getting Roberto P. Rhino back on the show to discuss Bloodstained: Ritual of the Night, out June 18th. Other than that, have a safe week. Keep your expectations low for E3. Crazy, like, oh my God, Banjo-Kazooie's in the Dean Smash. It's going to happen. I know it.
Everybody calm down. That's it, folks.
Hold your horses. Yeah.
This has been Nintendo Dual Screens Podcast, episode 102 for the week of June 10th, 2019. If you want to listen to this episode's pre- and post-show shenanigans, Andy, I can't wait for the post-show. It's going to be so exciting. Head over to patreon.com/NDS podcast, where you can get an extra hour of content each and every week for a nominal of a fee. Just a help us out a little bit. Thank you, Scott. Thank you, Andy. Thank you, listeners. And as always, please be excellent to each other.
Oh, wait, Steven, before we go.
What?
Oh, my God.
What did you do? Breaking news?
The calendar has emerged. A wild Tony Chung, who was a guest of ours.
Yes.
Just right now got back on the G-Chat. They say, hey, what's up?
Oh, hey, what's up, Tony?
Yeah.
All right, man. Well,
drinks. That's all I want to say.
All right. As always, please be excellent to each other.